The Wall Street Journal said he's one of the most innovative minds in football.
He's a rat.
ESPN once called him the guru of the spread.
Scumbag.
Football Scoop labeled him the mastermind behind college football's number one offense.
Nobody likes him, not even his family.
He took three separate teams over a five-year period and made each a top-10 offense.
Yeah, but he's such a horse's ass. He was fired by future United States Senator Tommy Tuberville in the middle of the season, even though he had a 5-2 record.
No wonder CBS Sports said there's never been quite a coach like Franklin. He marches to a different beat.
Pariah, an outcast, a person or animal that is despised, shunned, or avoided. Warning, buckle up and put your big boy pants on. This isn't your friendly kiss-ass coach's show. If you can't handle the truth, eject immediately.
And now, from parts unknown, it's the Pigskin Pariah. The one, the only, Coach Tony Franklin.
There's many times where you can walk onto a football field, you can walk into a coach's office, you can go into the trainer's room, you can go to somebody's home, and you can immediately find out just exactly what type of leadership is going on in that program. Because the one thing over the years that I've learned is that people's body language will tell a gigantic story. And I'll give you some examples of that. In football, as a football coach, the truth is this: you are what you do, not what you say you do. I told our players time and time and time and time again, you are what you consistently do, not what you say you do. Whether you're a coach, me, whether or not you're a player, whether or not you're a parent, whether you're the trainer, the administrative assistant in the front office, you're the athletic director, the president, you can say all the words that you want to say, but the words are completely meaningless. All of us are what we do on a consistent basis, not what we say we do on a consistent basis. And I have seen tremendous examples of horrendous leadership where a leader would stand in front of a group and talk about not being enthusiastic, for example. You know, we just don't have any enthusiasm. And then you watch him the entire game, he has no enthusiasm. You come out on the practice field, he has no enthusiasm. The offense scores a touchdown, he has no enthusiasm. And then he tells the players, you don't have any enthusiasm. We don't have any enthusiasm. Well, of course they don't. People are what they do. And so just because somebody is the leader and he goes in front of the podium at the end of a game or at the end of a week of practice and they say, you know, we just don't have any enthusiasm out there. We don't have any leadership out there. We don't have this. We don't have that. Well, more than likely, when you're looking at an entire program, the reason they don't is because the leader doesn't have it. So what do you look for if you're trying to decide, are your coaches good coaches? Are they good leaders? Are they doing what they're supposed to do? Well, there's a few things that I want when I watch a coaching staff. Number one, I want to see energy. I don't believe that a coach can be an efficient high school football coach or an efficient college coach without good energy. Now, there's different types of energy. There's Rob Likens that I coached with at Louisiana Tech and at Cal. Every single day of his life on the football field, when he walked out those doors, buddy, he was in a dead sprint. No matter what was going on in his personal life, no matter what was going on in football, win, lose, anything else, the moment he came out onto that field, there was this enthusiasm and joy that every player could feel. So it was impossible for the group that he coached not to be a part of that. And so if Rob looked at them and said, you don't have any enthusiasm, well, guess what? They didn't have any enthusiasm. And I promise you this, it wasn't his fault. because he was the most joyous, happy, glad to be there, and excited for his career and for his chance to play football and then to coach football for his entire life. And it showed every single day. So for a football coach, to me, to be successful, they need energy. Do they all have to be like Rob? No. You don't have to run. You don't have to scream. You don't have to shout. But you do have to show positive energy with your body language in some form or fashion. You've got to. It doesn't mean that if you're an NFL coach and you're a horse's ass all the time that it doesn't work. It's different. It's a different type of incentive. There's all different types of incentive. But if you're coaching middle school, little league, high school football, and even college football, you better have some type of energy in your body language. The other thing is that you need to be consistent, is that people learn to expect things from you. Be consistent. If you say something, be that. If you're going to do something, then do it consistently. It doesn't mean that there's not a chance to have what I call a pattern interrupt, what Tony Robbins made famous. And that is, some days you just got to be a little bit different. It might be that in the middle of practice, I take off my shirt and show my fat belly and jump down and do 20 push-ups. And everybody looks at, has he gone nuts? Is he crazy? Is there something wrong with him? No. Most every single day, I'm the same. Occasionally, there might need to be a pattern interrupt where you change everything because everything has gotten old. But the one thing you want is you want your players to know what to expect when you walk out onto the field, to know what to expect in the meeting room, that they can have somebody that they can rely on, that there's a good work ethic, that there's a good human being, that you are what you say. It doesn't mean you've got to be blah and that you got to be bland. Just be the exact opposite. You can be either one of those things as long as they know what it is. And then don't be afraid to occasionally, when you really want to get something across, break the pattern, interrupt it, and do something extremely unique. You've got to be able to adjust. You have to adjust. I believe in something that was always attributed to Jimmy Johnson. I'm sure that somebody else said it before him. And that is that you coach everybody different. You start off with a certain set of rules and guidelines, et cetera. There are certain things that, you know, that you won't stand for. There are certain things that everybody must do. But the bottom line is every player is different. That's why it was such a good book when I read Across the River and I listened to Coach Bryce Brown and Kent Babb describe how he coached his players and about how it was all about finding out what was the button to push with this guy. How far could you push him? What did you have to do to get him to do the things that he needed to do? Every good coach is adjustable. Every good coach has the ability to adjust. And it doesn't mean that he's right, because I know, and I've coached with guys that just basically they treat everybody different, but for a different reason. They treat them different because they like some guys. They're their favorites. Their mom and dad have money. There's something they like about them. They kiss their ass. That's not what I mean. What I mean is find the button. And it might be that the button that you found is wrong. And if it's real easy to see, if it doesn't work, you got to push another button. You got to find another way to get to them. Voice inflection. If you use the same voice all the time, again, I listened to a coach for a long time, get in front of the team and go, y'all just do not have any emotion. Everybody needs to have more energy. Everybody needs to be more excited. We're not very excited. And there was no change in his voice inflection. It was the same all the time, every single day. Voice inflection. There is a reason why great speakers go in different ranges of their voice. They go from high to low. They go from loud to quiet. There's a reason, because movement will come when the person understands how to change the monotone of his voice, how to change the tone of his voice, how to use the inflection of his voice. If he's always quiet, he always talks real quiet. Everybody wants to be Bear Bryant. Trust me, there ain't no Bear Bryants left anymore. Okay, he might have been able to whisper, but if you think you're Bear Bryant, you ain't Bear Bryant. So you got to be able to use voice inflection to get what you want to get out of people. You need to have the look of respect. You respect them, they respect you. How do you get respect? You get respect by earning respect. That's by doing your job. That's by caring. That's by being consistent. The one thing I know about young men, they can almost always eventually figure out a phony. It doesn't mean they won't obey the phony. It doesn't even mean that they won't like the phony. Sometimes they do. Phonies can be nice guys. Phonies can be assholes. And they can be somebody that's likable or not likable. But the one thing about it, if you think that you fooled the players, you haven't fooled them. They've just learned how to use you. And I've seen, again, many gullible teachers, many gullible parents, many gullible coaches, to where the person who is being taught doesn't respect the teacher, but they've learned how to use the teacher. They've learned how to use the coach. They make them think that they respect them, when in reality, they just know that if they hit the right button, if they kiss the ass enough, if they find that button, then they can get whatever it is that they want. One of the other things that is important for a coach is to try to be as healthy as humanly possible. When you get to the point, and I always said this in my career, even when I was overweight, even when I was a lot overweight, I hustled. I had a coach tell me at Auburn, one of my coaches at Troy, out on the field one day said, "Hey, dude, you're going to have to lose some weight or else you're going to die, because you're still coaching like you weigh 190 and you weigh 240. So you better lose some weight and quit being a fat ass." And he was right. He was 100% right. And I learned over the years that I needed to get in coaching shape. I needed to coach in the year because I needed to be able to hustle. I needed to be able to run and move from drill to drill. I needed to be able to run and jump in a guy's face and congratulate him or to chew his ass out. So it's important that your coaches try to be healthy. They need to demonstrate. You need to be able to demonstrate what you want. What is good and what is bad. I still believed at the end of my career as a 63-year-old man that I could give a half-assed demonstration. And it's important. It doesn't mean that, you know, Andy Reid can't coach because he's obese. You know, it's obvious that he's obese, but he's still a good football coach. But there's got to be somebody there that can demonstrate. And for me, when you choose your coaching staff, you can get too old. You can get too out of shape. You got to have some young people that can spice it up, that can move around and do things that people can see. Always remember this when you're looking at a coach. If he's a whiner, he's probably going to lose and whine about it. And he's going to whine about everything. And he's always going to have an excuse. It's always going to be somebody's fault. You see the coaches that fire guys all the time. They're firing somebody. Every couple of years, they fire two or three guys. And how they keep their jobs is miraculous. But they're great whiners. And they work for whiners, or else they've got them into a long contract and they can't buy their way out of it. So look and see, is your coach a whiner? If he's a whiner, he's probably never going to be anything but mediocre. Players are almost exactly the same. They need to hustle everywhere they go. They need to laugh and smile and have fun. They need to learn to use their voice. One of the biggest things you can teach your players as a coach is how to speak, how to use their voice, how to shake a hand, how to look somebody in the eye, how to have a conversation. You also can read your players when they pout. And then you can pull them aside and you can tell them, "Hey, look, dude, the pouting deal is not going to work. Okay? It's not going to work. You're going to have better body language. I don't care if you have to fake it. But you got to have better body language because you're a bad leader when you're pouting." Until you teach them, and if you're a pouter yourself, like again, I worked for a head coach that pouted for 24 to 48 hours after every game we would lose, walk around with his head down, pout like a little baby, and then wonder why the players had no enthusiasm. You got to have leadership in order to be able to do that. All good players do the details right. If you're going to make it a long way in this business as a player, you got to be detail orientated. You can sometimes win with talent, but when somebody else is as good as you, the person with the best details are going to win. You need to be a leader with consistency, on time, say the right things, do the right things, have enthusiasm, don't be selfish. I had a really good quarterback once, and he was known to be a great leader, and he was a terrible leader. He would come to the sidelines every time he did something wrong and he would pout, throw his hand down, didn't want anybody to be around him, make everything about him, let everybody see me, let the TV see me. You know, I want everybody to see that it's not my fault or that I care more than everybody else. That's not what a good leader does. The last quarterback that I had at Middle Tennessee, he would go to everybody when he would have a mistake or make a mistake or anything and go around, slap everybody on the helmet and smile at them and say, hey, I'm going to get better and I'm going to find a way to do something. Even when I pulled him out of games, he would do that. That's what good leadership is. Jared Goff did the same thing when I had him at Cal. Omar Hagebuck, same thing at Troy. Good leaders do that. They don't make it about themselves. They understand that everybody's watching them. Good players finish. They finish everything they do. They finish the drill. They try to finish the game. They try to play every play. If they're behind 50 to nothing, they're going to play every snap the best they can play. If they're ahead 50 to nothing, they're going to play every snap the best that they can play. They're going to always leave the field with leadership and with a great attitude, the same way they came on. And then finally, the one thing that people sometimes overlook is your trainers, your equipment staff, and your administrative help. They need to be coached up like everybody else. If the trainer's an asshole, and guess what? Your players are going to go out onto the field in a bad mood. He's got to be a good leader as well. Doesn't mean he can't be firm. Doesn't mean he can't be disciplined. But he needs to be somebody that they can respect and that they know that he has their best interest in mind. Same thing with the equipment guy. He needs to earn respect, and then he needs to adapt the philosophy of the coaching staff. And all of the student assistants that help need to be the same way. There's no room for those guys to be unique and not to be part of the winning formula. So they need to have high energy. The administrative assistants that work in the office need to be the same thing. High energy, smile, pleasant yet firm. Don't let anybody walk over you, because players will walk over you if you let them. They need to follow the plan. They need to understand the philosophy. The head coach, the AD, everybody needs to have everybody and say, this is our philosophy. This is who we are. Everybody needs to understand it. You are part of the karma, and they represent you all the time. Always remember, the results will come from leadership, and the leadership will flow, and it will flow down, and it can flow back up if you've got leadership all the way through. Remember this. Every time a football coach says that we don't have good leadership, he's just talking about himself. Because if you've got 100 guys on a team and you can't find good leadership, that is you. There's no way in the world that you cannot have good leadership on a football team because you have 100 people. So if a coach says we don't have any good leadership, it's because of him. He's the reason that you don't have good leadership. And if you tell guys all the time they suck, guess what? Eventually, they're going to believe you and they're going to suck. You're going to have always good body movement, good language inflection. People are going to be excited, and it's going to be contagious. Good leadership and excitement are always contagious. So examine your coaching staff. Examine you. Examine your players. If you're a fan, examine yourself, because you can be a part of the camaraderie itself. And if you're a parent, don't allow your kid to always complain and always gripe. Be the positive person when they come home. There's a way that everybody can be a positive part of building a great program. Expectations can be high, and at the same time, so can understanding. You want to have a great program? It's got to be something that goes from the top to the bottom and then back up from the bottom to the top.
Thanks for listening to today's show. One, go to coachtf.com/podcast and leave us your email so we can send you your free download for our Pigskin Pocket Card, which gives you 10 simple steps to follow daily to ensure an amazing life. Two, do something good today for someone who can never repay you, and you'll have truly lived an amazing life. 3. Join us Monday through Friday for new episodes and download any of our episodes wherever you get your podcast, or simply download from our coachtf.com/podcast. 4. Give us a 5-star review today so we can continue to put together entertaining and informative episodes. Always remember, do good, no repay.